Be here tomorrow morning?
No. We're doing two blocks today. Today's Thursday and Fridays. To tell Yehuda. Okay. Tuesday we'll do on Wednesday, Mitzvah Hashem. So it's only Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. The Gemara, the Yud Aleph and Gittin Amud Aleph, we're going to try to do two blocks today. And and we're saying that everyone agrees that if you hold Eidim Mesira Karsi, you can. It doesn't matter the Goyim sign to get, but we're worried that you might rely on their signatures. So if we recognize that they're Goyish signatures, there's no worry, everybody holds it all right. If it's names that are not necessarily Goyish names, the Eden can use them as well, that's the Machlekes if we are worried or not. Says the Gemara. I'll be around. Names that will make a mistake, everyone agrees you shouldn't use. It's names that are obvious. That's where we have a machlekes. So some say that even so, we don't want to use, we don't want to rely because maybe people are not going to realize it, or we're geyser. And Rav Shimon says, we're not worried at all. That Rav Shimon Father Belozen says that if it's an obvious geyish name, and we gave a whole bunch of examples of Hermin and so on and so forth, nobody's going to make a mistake to ever rely on them again, and then it's all right. So then we ask the question, so why in the Mishnah does it make a distinction between Erkoyas, whether it's a professional bezin or whether it's a kangaroo court, make a difference whether the names are similar to Yidden, then it's forbidden, and if the names are obviously Goyim, then it's not forbidden. So we answer, that's exactly what the Mishnah is trying to say. The Ibais, another answer is, you're right, say for the end of the Mishnah that makes a distinction between a professional court and a kangaroo court, was not talking about the normal cases where you have Goyim signing. Us and Legitimum, we're not talking about a get, we're talking about the regular shtar. This is what we're saying. When do we say that a regular shtar is possible? Only if it was done in an ordinary by an ordinary way, not when it was done by a professional court. Tanya, we learned. We're in Dafyur Aleph, Amud Aleph 11, A, right in the middle of the page. We're doing two blocks today, Yimi. The following. This point we just said, I want you to know that the Rabbi Kiva Chachamim will not argue al kol hashtores ha'oilin be'erkoy Chachamim. Any contract that is brought before Goyish court, even though that the signatures by done by Goyim as well, shame the kasha. They're all kasha. Even the get divorce of a woman signed by Goyim is all right. In a professional court, they are all right. Loi nechelku, when do they argue? Bizman shenase behedit. They argue only is if it was done in an ordinary court. Rabbi Akiva machshir. Rabbi Akiva holds his kosher. Rabbi Akiva holds his kosher. Rabbi Shimon holds that in our Mishnah we said that a divorce cannot be done by goyim. Because the Eidich Simekarsa has been a problem. Rabbi Shimon holds that a divorce could be done by Goyim, because the main thing is the people who see it happening. And Rabbi Shimon now is saying that that you should know that Rabbi Kiva Chacham, everyone agrees with me, you can have a Goyim sign and even a get in a Goyish court. However, if it was done in an ordinary court, that's where they argue. Rabbi Kiva says it's still kosher. And the Chacham impasim. And they're arguing about an ordinary contract. But when it comes to divorce, everyone agrees that in an ordinary court, we will not rely on Goyish signatures because you cannot trust them. Rab Shimon Megamul goes further. Af Eluk Shadim. When do we say that it's kosher if you have Goyish signatures? And we're not worried that people will make a mistake and think we can rely on these Goyim. But Mokum She'en Yisrael Chayshman. In a city where there's a decree that no Jews allowed to sign contracts. So every signature we know belongs to Goyim, so we know never to trust them. But if Yidin do chasmer contracts, and we always have a concern that maybe you're going to rely on the signatures, and maybe it'll be Goyim, loy. Says the Gemara, if so, even Mokim She'en Yisrael Chayismin, even in a place where Yidin do not sign, then we should still not allow it, even though only Goyim sign, we shouldn't allow it. If you're so worried that if in a place where Yidin sign, even Goyish names that are obviously Goyim, we don't want to do it because people might make a mistake. So then even in a place where only Goyim sign, people make a mistake and think in every other city also you can have Goyim signing and so on and so forth. Maybe in a place where you didn't sign as well, next time we'll have Goyim and we'll align it. So we answer, Shema b'shma machlif, asa b'asa l'machlif. Name, people make a mistake. They'll see a name. that sounds Jewish, could be a Yidder goy, and they'll think, oh, we can rely on these people, not realizing they're goyim. But cities in this city, no Yid signs, so everyone in this city knows that any signature here is a goy. So you're not going to make a mistake in another city and think, oh, you're allowed to use goyim even though Yidden are available. So it's not a problem. Ravina, Savad, he wanted Lachshuri Bichnu for Yaseir Dar Moy. He wanted a gathering place of a Moy, just a court, which is not really bound by the king. Also, should be valid to be a court presiding over court over the contracts. Amlid Afram Er Koyistan. It has to be only a proper court, not a kangaroo court, not a gathering place. It has to be sanctioned by the government, as we'll soon see. Amar Rav is Rav. Haishtar Parsa, Persian Shtar Demosin Neli Bapisad Yisrael. Even though it was written in Persian. And who understands Persian? And witnessing signing also in Persian, but it was given in front of Yiddish witnesses, Eidim Mesira, Magbinabe, you can collect. It's a valid shtar. But you can only collect from the borrower himself. You cannot go to fields that he unsold and collect from them. Because they had no idea. There was nobody talked about it. It's a Persian language. No one knew what it said there. Says the Gemara, these Edom said have no idea what is written in the Shtar. But the Yadi, they do know what's going on. We need to make sure that it's a signature that cannot be forged. And these Shtars are just ordinary papers. You can always write and rewrite. No, you put kind of a gouge, whatever you call it, that you cannot erase without realizing it. We have a rule that Edim always sign, give a space of a gap of a one line. And since by Mayas, what we do is in that one line, we fill it with a summary of the whole shtar. Over by Goyim, they don't do that. So therefore, the Chayda Hakin shtar because who knows where they added in. At least the last line should be possible. So we answer, B'demahada, Yitaka did revise the last line, you made a summary. So if it's proper Edim Mesira, they know what's going on. Why can't you collect Mishabadim? Says the Gemara, Leslie Kola. You know, the Edim Mesira, they don't really spread rumors. It's only the people who sign. The people who sign the Shtar know what happened. The people who see, all they said is, we saw the transaction of the Shtar. We didn't necessarily see the event. So they don't really talk about it. What about you have Edim that are signed on a get? That's coming from Eretz Yisrael. And their names are similar to Goyish names. Now, we don't know. Is a Jew? Jack. Is Jack a Yid or Jack a Goy? We don't know. Mao, what would you say? What's the din? Can we rely on the Shtar or not? Amalei, Loibali Yadenu, the only names that we ever saw in our lifetime was of Goyim, Lucas Velus. Lucas and Lus are the only names. And these are definitely Goyish names. Nobody's going to make a mistake and think that, well, that maybe we can rely on them again. They know right away these recognize the Goyim. All other names we ever received were all Yiddish, Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov. Never had an issue. Dafke, Lucas, Veluz, Dele, Shchichi, Yisro.
What about Alexander?
But they all became Yiddish names. But not in his time. Remember, we're talking here, he's saying here, this is a Shlokish Rabbi Yechon. Alexander's way before. You'll soon see a second. V'davka Lucas v'lus the loyshchicha Yisrael the maske b'shem asayun. The Yidden generally do not use these. These are real goyish names. No Yidden use these names. Avol shemos achrine the shchicha Yisrael the maske asayun loy. But if the taco be a name that we're not sure if it's a Yiddish or goyish name, you should not rely on that because it could be it's a goy, and then people will think that you can rely on these people. Eisve, I'll ask you a question. Gittin, so this is a get in Eretz Yisrael. We learned Gittin, Abboim, Dinsayam, Gittin that came from overseas, but Eidim, Chasumi, Malayim, if the witness is signed. Afal Pisha, Shemer, Sengichom, even though the names sound like Goyish, Kshedin, the Kosher, because probably Yidin signed it, and they should Roiv Yisrael, this is interesting, Roiv Yisrael, Shebechutz Lared, Shemoyson, Kshemes, Eivichom. In Israel, everybody has a Yiddish name, doesn't matter if they're Fry or not, they're all Yossi and so on. In Chutz Laretz, even Moshe the Rav could be called George, because so that's how it is. So therefore, you see Goyish names.
I know Moshe the
Rav. Doesn't mean anybody in particular.
Whatever.
But all the Garians have Goyish names after kings or whatever.
George, Robert, Thomas, and Peter.
Yeah, Jeffrey, and
those are the main ones.
Hossam over there, Kirektoni Timer, Fred. Over there, like we learned the reason. We said the reason why. Because most of the names in most Yidden, Chutz La'aretz, take on Goyish names. You know, there's a Maram Shik, called himself Shik, because Shem Yisrael Kodesh. He made a campaign. that you have to call yourself by Yiddish name, then he holds that it's an Issa D'Oraisa to go with a Goyish name. Then he tries to do a little bit of this Gemara here. So the Gemara says here that most Yidden, Chutz La'aretz, in those days at least, used to carry Goyish names. You know, to throw the old carry Yiddish names. Like the question we had before from the exactly like the Braisa there about getting to come from overseas. And he explains in the Mishnah that there's a good reason there because that Yiddish Eden can't adopt Goyish names. Mishnah. We already had it before as well. If a man says, 10 get zelishti, he gives it to a third party, he says, I want you to deliver the get to my wife. And it's bad for his wife to be divorced. Ushtar shicha zelavdi, I want you to deliberate my eved, and it's bad for the eved to be divorced because no one will take care of him. The maid holds in both cases it's bad for them, so calls man. They didn't actually deliver the get. The owner and the husband can change their mind. Im rotz lachze b'shnein yachz can change their mind. Divir amer. When do we say that only by women because we agree it's bad for her to be free, who's going to take care of her, and she's married to a kohen, she can eat truma and so on. It comes to slaves, no matter what you give them, it's better for them to be free. We hold a schus for an eved to be free, he'd rather be free, so therefore the moment you gave it to a third party, the eved is already free.
What's the have a minute to say that it's better for Eved to remain in his
house? It's not a have a minute, it's a machlekes.
I'm saying, what's the smoga to say that?
You'll see later. Because you'll see later the whole argument. No, because he loses out truma. He loses out truma. This Eved, if he's an Eved of a kind, you can eat truma and everything else. Now he has to go earn a living. What would you rather be on, welfare or have to work hard to earn a living? That's really what it's all about. In Australia, it'll be a very machlekes divided 50-50. You only married for people who are not around. Why? So the Mishnah explains. Why is it good for never to go free? Because the Chachamim say if the master wants to be nasty, you're telling me what he's losing his provisions. The master wants he can stop providing for him even while he's an Eved. So he doesn't really, he's no worse off being free. For Kedj, he's free, he can earn a living and do whatever he wants. If the master, while he's an Eved, wants to stop feeding, we can also do that. But his wife, he can't stop. The Torah says he has she'ed k'susa enough, so he has to feed his wife. He has no breda. So therefore, for her, being free is a bad thing. How's she going to earn a living? It's bad for him while he's an Eved and he's married, of a Koya, and he's able to eat truma and so on. Now that he's free, he's set free. He's no longer able to eat truma. So just like he can passel his wife. So just over here, saying Amrulai, said the Chacham answer back, Mipnei Shehu Kinyonai. You know why he can pass the guy from Truma? Because he owns it. Because till now he belonged to the master, and now he freed and no longer owns it. So what's the answer? The Gemara will explain the few more lines missing here. Says the Gemara, first we're going to see from this Gemara here, he, right now the Gemara does not understand the concept of 10 kishchi. The Gemara thinks that if you give a third party to deliver, it does not happen until you actually bring it to his hand. So if the master changes his mind, the shliach still delivers it to the Eved according to Chachamim. The master wants it back. So you're grabbing it on behalf of a Baal Chayv, on behalf of the Eved. Now why is the Eved called a Baal Chayv, as Tesis and the Rishonim explained? Because usually you don't set an Eved free unless you owe him something. He saved your life, he did something, a big favor. So it's like you're like the master's a Baal Chayv. The master doesn't want you to set him free, and yet you're setting him free. So from here we learn out that if a borrower has 10 lenders and one of the lenders sends a shliach and grabs it, even though he's hurting all these other lenders because now they can no longer get paid, it doesn't matter. It's a valid grabbing. So Yosef Rav Huna Rav Chitza Bar Yosef Kamei Rav Yimei Rav Huna, and Tezer said this Rav Huna is not the same Rav Huna we always have, because Rav Huna we always have was a teacher of Shmuel, and this is Rav Yimei who is way big, 3 generations later. Rav Huna and Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef were sitting in front of Yimei, and Yosef Rav Yimei have come and named Yimei Rav Chapra Dramu. You hear this all the time. The Rebbe in the middle of the shiur used to fall asleep. I mean, it's such a common thing in the Gemara. Rav used to go to sleep and go, in the middle of talking?
But no.
In middle of class? You had a Rebbe falling asleep in middle class?
Mislamnam is just a little nodding off like that. It's
class.
Not a proper schlafen.
Well, no, all right. Well, I don't know.
I had different teachers, obviously.
For Yosef Rav Kahuna, Kav Rav Huna sat there and he said, Shema Minam the Rabbanan, from the Rabbanan's opinion, we can see, if you grab on behalf of Baal Chayv, here the third party is grabbing on behalf of the Eved, and the master wants it back, and he cannot take it back. Even though you're hurting others, I'm like, yes, because you're hurting the master. And the master is the Baal Chayv because he owes a favor to the Eved. and yet you're still going ahead. Adhochi, in the meantime, itai b'Rabbi Yirmiyahu. And interesting, okay. Even when they slept, they used to hear everything was going on. Rabbi Yirmiyahu gave a stir. Dardiki, he called them kids. Hochi Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechanan said, in fact, it's a machlekes, but not teifus, the balchoy, mokachedim, lekani nakoina. Interesting, the Pnei Yeshua was the reason what he says. The reason why takatez balchoy, mokachedim, lekani, he says, Pnei Yeshua, not here, but Mamatzia. He says, because it's like a shlechet varvera. Since you're hurting somebody, you're doing an avera, and this middle third party is a shliach, and you cannot, on behalf of whoever he's grabbing the money for, and you cannot be a shliach for an avera. Ivim tame. What about Amish saying? Why can't the master change his mind? Yeah, you missed the point of it. Because kol ayim tenukayim bezchidami. Our Mishnah, when you told the third party, give it to him, it's as if you say bizeich on his behalf. So according to Chachamim, the moment you said bizeich, the evidence was already clean. He's free. He's a free man. How can the master change his mind afterwards? That's why. Not because teif is about chayv. Not because the third party doesn't have to listen to the master. It's already belongs to the evidence already. The moment you gave it to the third party, the evidence became free. In fact, maybe Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Onan, Kortanoim. Actually, Borba Matzia, the Gemara explains that the whole Machlek is Rabbi Yechanan and so on. But Magbir Matzia, the Chavede, Kana Chavede, Kana Chavede. But here we don't go into that. Says the Gemara, it's not really the Mishnah. Misha Likit as a payer. Reuven has a field, and Shimon is collecting payer. Vama Rezul playing the Oni. Shimon says, you know what? I'm collecting this payer on behalf of Levi, a poor man. He's so sick and everything else. I'll collect for him as well. I'm collecting for him. Rabbi Lezer, I'm a Zocha, but says, okay, you're Zeicha for that person. Are you hurting all the other poor people in town? If you're not taking it for yourself, you're hurting everybody else, it doesn't matter. So we see that what? That Taif is Labal Choy, because the field belongs to every single poor man. But Makhzul Chay, you're hurting all these other ones. And yet this person that designated Ani that you collected for is the one who will be Koine. So it doesn't, you can do it. However, Chachamim say, Yitnenu la'oni hanim tzedish, the first poor man that comes to collect, you got to give it to him. You are not koinin on behalf of that poor man. Why? Because you're a teifus lebal chayv. Okay, every poor man is a bal chayv. But you're harming all these other ones. You cannot be a shliach for somebody when you're harming everybody else. So the first poor man that sees you and he finds out that you're not keeping it for yourself can just take it all away from you. L'chayri, what's the machlekes? Exactly this point. Papa, no. One thing has nothing to do with another. You know why? I can give you two possible explanations. You know what Rabbi Lezer says over there, that you can collect for another poor man? Maybe, not because not because the other guy's kind, but because since this poor man, I'm a poor man myself, and I am able to be zeich, I can be zeich myself, I can be zeich myself, I can be zeich myself. And in fact, the Rabbi Lezer talks about, could be in a double migui, even if I'm a rich man. Migui that can be mafke komain all my nechosim, and the second migui. And they argue whether you say two migus or not. Dimalay, I can't go and have a lezer hosim, all the migui by mafke nechosim. He wanted, he could have been mafke all his estate.
In other words, if you've got two people owed money by
a Malvin. Yeah, if the Malvin is there for a different year.
And so one of the borrowers says, you go and grab
one of the lenders.
You're
one of the lenders. Not and. Hey, it was help. Was that help?
Because
he's
getting for himself and he's
getting. That's not. If one of the lenders says, you know what, grab for the other lender, since this lender could have grabbed for himself, but instead of me, go give it to him, that's called Migzor Nafshi. If you owe me and him, and I say, you know, take for me and take for him, what's the part over above what you owe me, I'm out of the picking loop, so I'm no longer Zoch Nafshi.
This is directly give to the other guy.
Exactly. Omigir Zoch Nafshi, nothing to do with Tevis Lebal Chayv, it's because I'm giving over my rights. But in a case where I'm just grabbing for somebody else, where I personally have no shaykhs to, who said you can? That's one way of looking at it. Or I can say, if I can look at a bonus, you know what I want to say, that you cannot do it. Because the pasuk loy salakid loy la oni, that if you're the owner of the field, that you're not allowed to. I'm sorry. That it says salakid la oni. It's as if it says. It says in the pasuk loy salakid. No, there's two psukim there. The pasuk is. What is it? No, it says la'oni la'ger tazavoysim. It says lo'y salakit. La'oni la'ger tazavoysim. So we, instead of reading it, a stop, read it, let it flow. Lo'y salakit la'oni.
Actually means don't take for yourself, you have to give it to the oni.
Yeah. Lo'y salakit. Then it says la'oni la'ger tazavoysim. Instead of making a comma there, lo'y salakit la'oni, as if the Torah says, normally, teif to b'chayv kan, over here not, because I don't want you to collect for the poor man. Aval hocheloi, but in this case I don't want. But Rabbi Lezer, hi lo salakit my overlay. What does he do with this posse lo salakit? Oh, me boy le lahazel oni shalay. If you own the field and you're poor, you're not allowed to say, oh well, I'm a poor man, I'm entitled to take my pay. Yeah, you can't do that. Says the Gemara, it says in the Mishnah, they told him, she'im yirtzel lelozen, you're telling me it's bad for the eved to go free because he stopped feeding. If the Baal Bas wants, he can stop feeding him while he's an eved. Shamed, now we can have a big machlekes there. Can the balabas tell an eved, I want you to continue working for me, but I'm not feeding you anymore? When it comes to a wife, he can tell a wife, I want you to, I'm no longer going to feed you, but you work, and whatever you earn is for yourself. See, that you can say, Rav Huna says. But over here by an eved, can you say to an eved, I don't want you to work? I want you to continue working, but I'm not going to give you any food. Can you do that or not? It's a machlekes. Definitely, I can say, you know, you earn. I've paid nothing. An eved is a slave, not a worker. Nothing.
Nothing.
I own you. You're mine. I am Mr. Scrooge. And therefore, you just go ahead and you work. People give it tzedakah. Not my problem.
But
pretty mean.
As soon as someone gives tzedakah to the
Yonim, you know, you're allowed to say, I'm an asta, but it has no connection. No connection. But it's pretty mean-spirited, but theory.
That's
right. A guy can say to his eved, you work, I'm not going to feed you. So therefore, Rabbana is saying, so freeing the eved, he's no worse off than while he's been eved. If the balabas wants, he can stop feeding him anyway. But he's free, at least he's free. He can go work, he can do whatever he wants. There's nobody over his head. No right from here. I can argue. Over here, he's talking about Amalei. He said to him, no, maybe what the Rabbanim meant in the Mishnah was, I can tell the worker, the slave, you work for yourself, earn the money, and you feed yourself. I'm not feeding you anymore. But I'm giving you the only time I can say I'm not feeding you is if I give you the right to work and earn some money so you can pay for your own wages, food. And therefore, And that's what Rabbana say, and the Rabbana is still saying that so the eved is no worse off because he has to work anyway. So let him be a free man and work, right? The kavod segabish, the same thing by a woman. By a woman also, he says to her, he's allowed to say to a woman, "You work and you earn yourself. I don't have to feed you if you earn yourself." Same thing by eved. Who said eved is different than an isha? Says the Gemara, "Isha amai loi." Why not isha b'leisafka? Eved ami b'leisafik. Why taka by a woman? So the Gemara asks a question: if the vart is that an eved is no worse off because I can stop feeding her, can't you say the same to a woman as well? You can say to your wife, "You work for yourself and feed yourself." And yet we consider that if you're freeing or divorcing a wife, it's a bad thing. Why is it a bad thing? If your husband wants, he can stop feeding her.
If he's not providing for her anyway.
Exactly. And she has to work. So it might as well be a free woman and work. What's the chilek and eved and isha? As Gemara says, isha my lo. You know what? Isha b'le safka. It's talking about the woman's hard to find the work that she'll be able to cover all the needs that she has. And that then is the husband has to supplement that difference. So therefore, she'll be worse off if she's on her own. Anyone eved nami b'le safik? So eved also... maybe what about a case where an eved does not earn enough to cover all of his food and expenses? So for him, that eved is worse off being free. Says the Gemara, no. Avda, a very interesting expression. Avda, a slave. The nohum karsa leshavya, that he cannot fill, that he cannot cover the expense of filling his stomach. The lemari lemar to lemay midboy. Why would they even want him as an eved? If he cannot even cover his own expenses. Cost me for $50 a day to feed him, and he doesn't give me $50 worth of benefit. Why would I keep him as an eved anyway? Yeah, why would I change my mind? What would I want him for? Yeah, he's causing me to lose money. Okay, so we're going back to the discussion. Can you stop feeding an eved while he's working for you or not? And tell him, continue working, but I'm not feeding. Touch my ear. Eved took a little mikvah, and eved ended up going on a mikvah. He killed somebody by mistake. He goes on a mikvah. The rabbi, his balabas, no longer has to feed him because what benefits do you have from him? Whatever he does in the Ari Miklat, any jobs that he has, the money goes to his balabas. Isn't that clear that he can tell him, you work, but I'm not feeding you? No, same thing as before. He says to him, it costs you $30 a day to live, $30 you earn is yours, anything above $30 is mine. If so, what do you mean goes to the balabas? Anything over and above what you need to live on goes to me. Hadaf pshita, you need a brayza to tell you that. He still owns the eved and he still belongs to him. Nay, mad, I would have thought, keeping the chilesle lo yovle, I would have thought it should work both ways. What happens if the eved doesn't earn enough to feed himself? The balabas has no chiv to feed him because you're worthless to me. What do I need you for? You can't even cover the $30 it costs you to feed you. What do I need you for? Since I don't have to give you if you don't earn enough, chiyisli nami lo, he said, maybe if you earn more than you need, maybe you can keep it as well. Lishkimination, take from you, kamashalan, that I could. But what am I taking? Hadafa. So there's no raya I can tell you to work without feeding. So what's a chiddush? Why talk about a miklat? Any case, it's the same principle. Name, I would have thought. It says in the pasuk, it says, it says that he should live in the settlement. He said that he should live. Maybe there's some kind of a chiv in the balabas to make sure he lives more comfortable there, because he's stuck in the city like a big jail. And maybe even if he earns extra money, you should give it to him as well. Kamashalon, you don't have to give him anything extra. Then we write to him. We tell him safe. Aval isha she goes to Ari Miklat. The woman went to Ari Miklat by lechaim. The wife went to Ari Miklat. The husband has to feed her. According to you, Miklal the loy omalom. Is that I? He's talking about a case that the man, he has to feed her. Obviously, he didn't tell her work for yourself and feed yourself, because we're saying the man has to feed her. In other words, he never told her that. The Yomla Baila my chayiv. So since clearly by a woman's talking about he have to pay, must be talking about that he did not tell her you feed yourself. You would have thought that the wife is never home, so why should he feed her? And Kamash should feed her, but he did not tell her. So my Evan also did not tell her. Yet I can tell you work, and I'm not feeding you. No, the Amala, even by the woman, he also said to her, you work for yourself. Navas, the Ishla Sapka, the Chiddush, that even though she works, she doesn't earn enough, he has to supplement her. Nu, Vamitoni Seifa, the Mamalati Maisa Zechman Secher, Rashoi, since the very end it says that a man can say to his wife, that ended the Seifa of that Braisa, that a man can say to his wife, you earn yourself. And whatever you feed yourself, Miklal Dereshid Lamalas, doesn't mean that in the case of Ari Miklal, he did not tell her that. It's not talking about he told her, you work for yourself, and that's why he has to feed her. Hachikama. This is how you're supposed to read the Braise. The imas pekes, if she earns enough money, the amala, he says, tzi masa yadech masech, you earn and keep whatever you have to feed yourself. Rasha is allowed to. If she earns enough, if she can earn enough to cover her, to cover all the food and everything else, what do you have to tell me that the husband can tell her you earn and keep your money and take care of yourself? What's a chiddush? Nein. I would have thought that a husband does not have the right to tell his wife go to work, because that since a king should not, a princess should not work, and all Yiddish women are princes, so they shouldn't be working. Kamash Milan. What? That you're allowed to tell her go work. Do you want you allowed to tell her go work? That's a chiddush. In other words, as Ash explains, Prima, that a woman, the only way to get work is you have to go out and solicit for jobs. It's pastish, not sneezing, for a woman to go out there and knock on people's doors to get work. And yet we say we could. Interesting. So the Kamash Maloney is that Kakvuda means that a woman's allowed to go to work. Because if you remember, you know, there's a big movement that women should, as you know, in the last few weeks, they all came out with this, the Rabbonim came out to this role that girls should not go to any, get any degrees.
Really?
Did you see all that around? It's all Paskin. Just give it up, sack 2 weeks ago. And if they do, then I'll be teaching any base Yaakov schools and all that kind of stuff. Here we're saying,
a couple of years ago in the Jerusalem Post, when I was in Israel, and I think they had a whole feature on all these Haredi women who were business people.
Okay, well, they just came out of a ban against it. No, I'm talking about degrees. You don't have any degrees in education or speech therapy, you know, all the women get, you're not allowed to go to get a degree. Just now, 2 weeks ago. Send them to Australia to go collect money, your husbands.
My daughter just graduated yesterday, so I just...
too late.
Occupational therapy. She's
become
a psychologist.
Oh, very nice. It's 2 weeks ago. Look in the Google, you'll see. A bunch of the bottom signs.
I didn't look 2 weeks ago. I would have had to tell her, you got a week to go, stop now. Stop.
Labor ketanoi, maybe go to some machlit tanoim. No. This thing, if a master can tell the Eved, you work for me, I'm not giving any food. Machlit is tanoim, perhaps. Rav Shimon Gula says, Yochel Eved loy milerabi, an Eved can say to his baal boss, b'shnei b'tzeres, in a hunger year. Now, a hunger year can mean a hunger year. Hunger year also means when a husband, when the master says, I'm not feeding anymore. It's the same thing. It's like a hunger year. Can say to him, oh, you partner, saying, look, I'll give you a choice. Either take care of me, or you hide, see, ain't you, or liberate me, because I got to fend for myself. The Chachamim say, no, the Baal Bas can say to him, I'm not feeding you, I'm not feeding you, and I'm not liberating you. Isn't that the Machlekes? Is my Labba Hokimi? Is this Machlekes? Ma'asov Yochel, Ma'asov Yochel. Well, I can tell them ever, you work for me, but I'm not feeding you. Says Gimara Vitizbra. Does that make sense? You think it's talking about a case where I said, work for me? Hi, oi parnaseini, oi hoitzi, eni lechedis. If the vart is according to you, the slave says, either feed me or let me work and keep the money. That's what he should have said, not free me. He should have said, give me the right to work and keep the money for myself. Oi parnaseini, oi tenli maasi, yodi be parnasos. Let me feed my boy. That's what he should have said. Oi, furthermore, my shlubish, why talk about hunger here? He said to him, talking about a normal case where the master said, you go work and keep the food, but it's a hunger year. In the hunger year, it's impossible, no matter how hard he works, and to cover the costs. So therefore, he says to him, Rashbag Savar, Oy Parnas, Saini. The Rashbag, this is what he's saying. Either feed me completely, Oy Haiti, Eini Lechedes, set me free. People see an other man walking in the street, they'll feed me. But if I'm an Eved, nobody's going to feed me. Everyone says an Eved, the master will take care of him. Why should I take care of him? However, Rabbanu Savri, interesting, is man the merachim abnei chori, I ever nami ruchumim merachim. If we see an Eved out there starving, so what? You're going to say to yourself, oh, he has a master to care of him, or you're going to say, Rachmanis, you'll give him some food. So that's the machlekes. What people naturally going to say? He has a balabas, will take care of him, let the balabas take care of him. Or if they see somebody starving, they won't make any cheshbainis, they'll help the guy out. That's the machlekes. Nothing to do with the issue he says before. Talking about right. And interesting, Rasha, the reason why we have Rachmanis is because he's chayiv in mitzvahs. Is that the point?
Because the
Eved is Chayim Mitzvahs. Like an Isha, so therefore people will help out. So it's a very delicate. Anyway, talk about coming in. I'm like, Magdishi, they have the Balabas says to the Eved. Everything that your hands, whatever you're going to produce from your hands, belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. And we'll see anymore later. It has to be a minimum of a Pruta, and it goes to the Beis HaMikdash. Anything less does not yet, there's no Hegdish less than a Pruta. Oh, you say Eved Loivas. What should Eved do? He has to live. The problem is if he earns money, he all goes to Hegdish. So that Eved Loiva borrows, V'oichel and eats. He borrows and eats. When he borrows, he's allowed to eat it because it belongs to Hegdish yet. And then V'oichel and then he earns and he pays back the Chayvis. But how does he pay back L'chayl belongs to Hegdish? So we're going to say later, it's less than a Pruta. Oh, but what is he from Mishmamino? L'chayl is starving and he has to Yochel Harav Leim Eleved Asa Imen. He says an Eved. He says, you work for me, but I'm not feeding you. So he has to go and borrow money to feed himself. Talking about that the Balabas is feeding him. No, say Behelchi, I'm my lover. Why is he borrowing to pay? Says the Gemara, he needs extra. He wants extra food. Okay, fine. But let me ask a question. So no proof again. The Balabas can tell him.
It's about
the Balabas
is being marked
to
Hegdish.
Yeah, no.
So anything he does,
that's right. Tomorrow will ask a question right now, and we say only if it's about Prutumo. Yeah, that's what we say. First, borrow. Borrowing does not belong to Hegdish because it doesn't belong to Hegdish. So he borrowed, and then when you start paying back, you pay back less than put at a time. Then it becomes Hegdish. Anyway, thinking about the item. Let Hegdish say to him 1 second. So now what you're doing, you're going to work and all the proceeds will go to pay back your loans. We want the proceeds, so therefore, who asked you to eat extra? Until now, you were by your master, you didn't eat extra. Now suddenly you belong to Hegdish, you have to be like a fat cat, you have to eat extra. Says Gemara, no, Hegdish will never say that. Hegdish guv nichle. Hegdish is happy to see you being eating well and being stronger. Remember, you belong out to Hegdish. If they see that you're eating well and you're stronger, you'll eventually earn more money because you have to do bigger jobs, and we'll get more money out of you. So we're happy that you take care of yourself. How can he pay back everything that he earns, everything that he makes, produces, belongs to Hegdish? How can he pay back to the lenders? Answer the Gemara, the pach is pach is meshav pruta, because Hegdish is not chal on less than the pruta. That's why he goes.
He pay back in less than the pruta, half penny coin.
Now, Lechayda, why doesn't Hegdish chal less than the pruta? Where do you have this rule from? So Taisa said it's talking about when the person Rachatchila gave it to Hegdish, he had in mind a substantial amount. A pruta. But if you taka don't have it in mind and you deliberately decide to make Hegdish this cup, which is worth a half a pruta, it will become Hegdish. There's no din that says he cannot make Hegdish less than a pruta. It's only because when the guy donated the Evet to Hegdish, he had in mind, as if he had in mind, that should be a pruta. It makes in fact sense. Rav himself said, Rav is the one who says that a master can say, I don't want to feed you. But Rav himself says, if you mark the hands of Eved, he eats and everything else. Now the Eloi Avda man polochle. Because if he doesn't work, who is going to serve him? Who's going to feed him? So he says, you're allowed to go work, keep yourself. Now, if you tell me that what here is talking about, where the Balabas feeds him. But, and that's why he shouldn't work. And here is talking about where the Balabas doesn't feed him, therefore he's allowed to work shopping. That means even Rav himself will say that if the Balabas does not feed him, then the Eved Mefesh is allowed to work. The Balabas has no right to say, you work for me and I'm not going to feed you. No, the Balabas doesn't feed him, you work for yourself and feed yourself. If the Balabas does feed you, then everything you earn goes to the Balabas. Makes sense, the steed of Rav. Eliam, you can say, that even though the Balabas is not feeding him a cent, the Balabas can tell him, too bad, I'm keeping all your money. Who owes anything to the Eved? Let him starve. Somebody chops off the hand of the Eved, of his friend, Noisen Shifta. You have to give the unemployment. And the medical bills, L'rabbi, to the master. And the Eved himself, where does he get fed from? Why should the master feed him? He can't work for me. But yet the master gets all the benefits. All the medical benefits the master gets. If it's to the master, if there's a hesitant to the master, there is.
That's his rechush, has been damaged.
Yeah, because Rashi says we're not mentioning all the details. We're just checking a few of them.
They bring in also tzara and all of these things.
Everything else that Rashi explained definitely belongs to the master, because that is part of the Eved. The Baal Bas owns the Eved. We would have thought that medical bills is to make the Eved be able to function, and his unemployment that he can't do, maybe that should go to the Eved. Even that goes to the master. What do we see from here? The master is getting all the money from the Eved, and the Eved, it doesn't have to feed him. Isn't this a raya that you can tell the Eved starve and too bad? But oh, you say Eved is lucky. Shmamel doesn't have to bring a raya that yochal arav loyme le'eved asa'imi. I'm going to take all your money. The ain't a zonach, but I'm not giving you any food. Again, no raya. The master is giving him food, and that's why he's taking all the medical bills. So what do you mean he can get fed in his doctor? It's interesting. The Baal Bas feeds him, but he's giving him the same amount of food he used to give him when he was healthy. When he was healthy, he needed so much. Now that he's sick, he needs maybe special food, more expensive food. He doesn't have to give it to him. That tzedakah, the people in the community will give. If so, nizain. So why do we use the word nizain, which means he has to get food? Mispandis aboy. Mispandis means extra. Should we use the word mispandis, which is extra? Elosh shmam is the raya. The fact is nizain that even the basic food he can go yochol. Shmam is a good raya. So Gemara concludes that you could tell an eved, work for me, and I'm not giving you any food. I mean, just think about this. It's unbelievable. Oh, as we said, no, he's a shifter to the force of the rabbi. That unemployment, the fact that he can't do any work, and his medical bills goes to the Baal Bas. Shifter. The unemployment obviously goes to the master. You're supposed to work for the master. The master has no benefit from you. So the master is the one who got hurt. But the medical bills, why should it go to the master? Why should the refuah go to the master? Who needs the medicine? Who needs the medical attention? The slave. Why should the medical bills go to the master? Should it go to the slaves?
Who paid the doctor? The doctor
yielded him. No, but he's saying it. The person who cut the hand off of the Eved, let's say the medical bill is $100, gives $100. The master thinks, I'm keeping it. Too bad. I'm not paying the doctor. We're not healing you. That's what it sounds like. What's the logic in that? That's not right. Says the most interesting thing. Gemara says, "Loitzlich." You know what we're talking about here? We brought in for an assessment, and they said it'll take 5 days to heal, and therefore we'll need to be in the hospital for 5 days. It'll cost you $1,000. But lepoil va'avdulei sama chadifa, they gave him stronger medicine. The itzim etloisiyam. He got healed in 3 days. I would have thought should go to the Eved, because in fact he's the one who's suffering. Kamaso is the master. That's very hard to understand here. So it's an interesting din. The person who caused the damage was told it will cost $1,000 to cure the guy. Turned out to be only cost $600 to cure the guy. He still has to give $1,000. Why? I don't know. I was trying to look up yesterday. Why? Why should he give $1,000 if the prior assessment was wrong? Like, they gave him stronger medicine, so they gave him a better cure or a better doctor, and instead of $1,000, it cost only $600. So why should he have to give that extra $400 and then the master keeps it? Why? I don't know. Tanya, we learn. Let's just get to the bottom of the page. Tanya, we learn. We'll finish the sugya. We learn, if you don't mind, then you're free tomorrow. Okay, and Tuesday's Gemara will learn on Wednesdays. It's only Shabbos, Sunday, Monday. I'll try to get someone from Kail, but there's nobody in Kail here. Yenis John's going to Sydney. I'm going to Sydney, yeah. I just found out I have a bar mitzvah, so I'm going to go to Sydney. Oh, let's finish. Amar Abelazar learned. Meir said to Meir, this is a discussion. You want to know what discussion? This is a discussion. We said to Meir, does he say anything to the Moshe? I know what I should say, but I'm saying I don't understand why.
You
should actually pay. Why should he pay it? It's an assessment. He gave better medicine, so that's it. Yeah. It's as if you want to be established that this is what the costs are, you're mechuyevet, and there's no way of amending it. And what would be the other way around? It turns out to be that he's still sick and needs more medicine. I don't have to give it anymore. Time we learned. Isn't it a good thing for him to go free? It's bad for him. What happens if Baal Bos was a coin? He's no longer able to eat truma. So therefore, he's losing out. If you're thinking that what, that he's worse off because he's losing out food, if the master wants, he can stop feeding him while he's a slave. But he doesn't have to feed him. Okay, the way we learned in the mission is two ways. Either he can tell him, work for me and I'm not feeding you, or he says, you work for yourself, but I'm not feeding you. So he's no worse off being free, no worse off. If you're free, either way, he wouldn't have get fed from the Baal Bos. Oh, Maloni said to us, no. What happens in the following case? Uma ilu eved koyin, if he's the eved of a koyin, sheborach, he fled. So the master can't find him to free him. Wherever he travels the world, he can eat truma. Truma is very cheap to buy, because there aren't too many koyin around. The H is koyin shemurdal bailo, the wife of a koyin who runs away. She can continue eating truma, so she's in a good way. So therefore, by freeing them, they're worse off. They can only eat truma, and chulin is much more expensive. Hal oichin betruma, if any oichin can no longer eat. However, I agree with you. We agree with you. The Rabbanah say, we don't agree with you in Eved, because we don't see how he's worse off. But in Isha, we agree. She's definitely worse off. It is taka worse. She came pastel minat truma. Two reasons. You're right. First of all, she no longer is truma. But more than that, I've seen him in Amazonas. While she's a married wife, he has to feed her. And also, he has to feed her. Once she's free, he no longer has to feed her. So that's bad for her. But in Eved, he doesn't have to feed him while he's in Eved. So he asked the question, if the Eved runs away, how does Chum answer that? It's a good question. If the Eved runs away, he continues Truma, and the master can never free him because he can't find him. So now he'll be worse off by being free. He can no longer eat Truma. So what was the answer? Hachikam, this is the discussion. He shaftuni ala mazain is, okay, that may says to Rabbanan. Maybe he has a document to prove it. It's true. He is an Eved of a coin. No. Yeah, but cool, but why they don't know he ran away. So he said, Amazah Khamen, you answer me three lines at the bottom. You answer me regarding food. Okay, that you answer me regarding food. But if the master wants, he doesn't have to feed him even while he's an Eved. So he's no worse off being free. Oh, but Mata Shivuni al Truma, what do you answer me regarding Truma? He is worse off, he can no longer Truma. I be chitamer. He can tell me he boys are legita apostle. If he wants any moment, he can always just set the Eved free. So therefore, the Eved really is no worse off because he's always at the beck and whim of the Baal Bos, whether he wants to keep him or not, whether he's true or not. Shavigley, he can always leave him. But Adik Vazalam, he can run away. So if the Eved can run away, he'll still be an Eved, eat truma, and now if you set him free, he's much worse off. Runs away. They can continue in truma. So the mayor say, but he's worse off. So why is it good? Answer says Gemara. Shapikam lemeir has a valid taina. At least in that case, an eved is worse off being free, because while he's an eved, he can run away from his master, eat truma wherever he goes, which is cheap. But now that he's free, he can no longer eat truma. He's worse off. Amar Rava says, this is what he answers in our Mishnah, not in the Braise. What do you mean by that? He owns the Eved. You know what the Mishnah meant? You know what the Baal Bos can do if he hates the Eved? He can go to a Yisrael. He says, give me a few dollars, you can buy my Eved. And we don't need the Eved to be around to do that. It's my kinyan, an asset. I can sell my assets. It's transferable. And the moment he belongs to the Yisrael, the Eved can no longer eat truma wherever he is, regardless. So therefore, what he tell me, the Eved is worse off. Because Kolzman is my Eved, he can eat truma. And the moment I free him, he cannot. And you're saying he can run away, I can never catch him.
The Eved doesn't know that he's been sold to the Yisrael. So the Eved's going to continue going around.
Yeah, but I'll spread a word around or whatever. Maybe they have a Bezdin that... where they check out these things. The e-boy, if he wants, shokel abo zuzim Yisrael, can take $4 from a yid, upasale, and it will passel the ever from truma, call hey chedis, regardless of where he is. That's what the Gemara means. Ul rameye, nur rameye.
when it's enough, you can be a
creditor. Yeah. That's it, yeah. Transfer, yeah. We'll see later, Memalov. How are you buying ever? Yeah, money. Says the Gemara, Ula Rameyer, even Rameyer. His whole argument is if you happen, your Babos happens to be a coin. And what about your Babos Yisrael? You're talking no worse off. The only time Rameyer found a case you're worse off is if the Babos is a Yisrael. So Rameyer, Tainach, Evid coin. Makes sense, the Evid of a coin. Oh, but Evid Yisrael by Ikel Meimer. How is he worse off by being free? He couldn't eat Truman when he was Evid, nor can he eat Truman now. While he's an Eved, he's able to live with the Shivcha Kananis, and once he's free, he cannot live with the Shiks anymore. Adrabari Matir Baschoidin, Luchaidi can marry a Jewish girl, isn't that great? Nah, Avdabev Kedanichale, an Eved would rather be Hefke Zile Shichale Pritzale, sorry, Nichale, Zile Shichale Pritzale. He, by him, since he doesn't treat with respect a Shivcha, therefore, he feels very comfortable and can be parutz and promiscuous. With a Yiddish woman, he can't behave this way. So therefore, for an Eved, it's much worse. So we just learned... Once he's free, he can't longer shivchah kananis him. True, but first of all, in the balabas's thing, must be 100 shivchahs, 20 shivchahs, he can go with any of them. There's no... Maisel shivchah kananis is by an Eved Ivri. Maisel shivchah kananis Ivri. He's allowed to live with any shivcha, by the way. He's allowed to marry any shivcha he wants. Even if